Hello. Welcome to week two of Burn It All Down for the month of June. Of course, this one is going to get a little personal. We are not just ditching the grind culture. We are torching fake discipline, the inherited blueprints and the schedules that really have been serving our survival instead of our calling. So this week is going to be about sacred structure, like the kind that's going to honor your body, hold your purpose. And it flows from devotion, not domination. Okay. If it wasn't built in freedom, it's getting burnt down. We are rebuilding something holy. Okay. Before we jump into this episode, I just want to talk to you guys a little bit about a non-negotiable product that I take and I super, super love. And I just mix this with my morning electrolytes. It's incredible. It's colostrum with AC11, patented. We own the, nobody else can have this product. Okay. It's three ingredients. And I'm going to tell you something that a lot of people don't want to admit. Like if you are inflamed, exhausted, you've got that foggy brain, you've just been feeling out of rhythm. It's because your body is literally starving for repair. Not that caffeine, okay? Not hustle, not another cleanse. It's looking for cellular repair, like immune repair, gut lining repair. And this is exactly why I take the colostrum with AC11. And I will say it again for the overthinkers in the back. This is not just another bullshit wellness trend, okay? This is what your body has been screaming for. This is what makes it non-negotiable. Three ingredients. No synthetics, no fillers, no sugar-laced distractions, okay? AC11 is a compound that literally activates DNA repair. I'm talking reducing cellular damage by up to 90%. So your gut's protected, your immune system is activated, your recovery, your focus, your hormone stability, all enhanced. And it isn't a supplement, okay? This is a biological reset. Coded return to wholeness. And I trust this because I trust the woman who formulated it. I trust her mission. I trust her message. I just trust her as a human. You can't biohack your way past trauma, but you can give your body exactly what it needs to stop spiraling. So this is not optional. If you're trying to heal your nervous system, regulate hormones, get off burnout roller coaster, rebuilding after stress or sickness. And I know like you've tried the caffeine, you've tried the willpower, you've tried pretending that you're fine. Just click the link in my show notes. Okay. Start the reset. Your body already knows. This is holos health. I love this. So let's get back to it. Okay. This week, like I said, we're going to be talking about sacred structure, really, because productivity isn't the problem. It's the addiction to proving that has become toxic for us. Okay. Like productivity became our coping mechanism, and that on some level, doing became our default for avoiding the feeling. And if we weren't doing, we're self-sabotaging because we knew we should be doing. So either way, we are paying a terrible price. Busyness made us feel worthy, valuable, needed. Hustle created an illusion of control over the chaos of your inner world. You know, in this space, we were not creating structure. We were sedating uncertainty. So let's rip the mask off this one. I have to fix my chair because I feel like it's so low to the floor. Okay. Get up a little higher. Yeah. Get up a little higher. So anyway, productivity isn't the problem. Okay. It's the addiction to proving that is. It's the hidden operating system behind so much burnout, all of the spiraling, and then that constant thought that haunted me. This is something that I have beat myself up about for 8 years now, is why am I not further by now? Why am I not further by now? If I'm doing all the things, it was chaos, pure chaos. And I just want to remind you, okay, I've said this a few times over the past few weeks since I started understanding through my healing that I'm not lazy. Like I am exhausted from chasing a worth that I already had inside of myself for 8 or 9 years now. You know, addiction to proving means that like your sense of value is wired to your output. You don't feel secure until you've done something, and you're confusing activity with identity. Like you're feeling anxious when you're not producing, helping, explaining, performing, because silence feels like invisibility. And if you have a brain that works like mine, invisibility is It just feels like a lot of rejection, really. You're not trying to achieve shit. What you're doing is trying to outrun shame. And if we're going to talk about the red flags, I want you to understand and recognize how you're in it, okay? How do you know if you're caught in a proving spiral? You can't relax until something is done. Like even rest makes you feel guilty. You spiral when you waste time. And as a self-sabotage queen who is exhausted from the burnout of just the mind fuck that I was in on this loop, I really was just in a cycle of self-abuse because I equate stillness with failure. You know, I downplayed my own needs. If you're not useful, you feel like a burden. Are you over-explaining yourself because you're afraid people are going to misunderstand your value if they don't see your full effort behind it? You hide when you're struggling because in your mind, your power was the performance, not the process. And then we have that cycle. This is the loop that we're on, okay? And we're teaching our brain this. We're ingraining it into our, you know, the neurons that fire together, wire together. So we have created this loop of where we burn out, disappear, beat ourselves up, reemerge performing even harder. And then we turn around and we repeat that. We burn out, we disappear, we self-sabotage, we beat ourselves up, and we come out trying harder. And we're so exhausted that every time we come out, we're just getting a little less further. Like we're kind of taking like that one step forward, four steps back. Okay. And what it makes you become is someone who is addicted to proving. So you're going to be that high functioning martyr. Okay. I've worked with women like the most brilliant boss babe CEOs, multimillionaire women who this is what they were. And they were a shell of a human, miserable, high functioning martyr. CEO of performance, a leader who inspires but never feels safe to be human. How many leaders have you seen out there carrying the weight of the world that you can see any given moment they're going to break? And for what? Like, we want to see they're human, right? Or you're a business owner who confuses pressure for purpose. You teach people to love what you do, not who you are. You built a brand that needs your exhaustion to exist. You set a pace that you hate, but now you feel obligated to keep it because people are expecting it. And the most dangerous thing is that you start to believe that your worthiness is negotiable based on output, approval, and how productive you've been lately. So how do we stop that? How do we interrupt the loop? We interrupt the loop with presence. When you feel the urge to do something to feel better, I want you to ask yourself, what am I afraid will happen if I am still right now? Let that anxiety come up. That's the moment where proving dies and presence begins. And this isn't the argument that you should be having when you're talking about going to the gym, okay? I've been going to the garage for a couple of days now. Very proud of myself, okay? Did I start it out of a little bit of self-hate? Yes. But I felt the urge to do something to feel better. I got out of the workout routine and I hate myself for it. I hate myself for it. And ask myself, what am I afraid will happen if I'm still right now? I'm never going to get started. So sometimes there is a right next step. But we're talking about this emotional mindfuck that we have with like showing up in our business and our relationships. Let the anxiety come up. Let yourself feel it. To be scared of like, what if I don't post all day on Facebook? What if I miss that customer? What if I don't return that email within 30 seconds of hearing the ding? Right? Just let yourself feel those things. And you have to redefine rest as obedience. Start treating it like it's a sacred act of leadership, not a break from it. I mean, Jesus literally slept in storms. Your nap is not a betrayal of your calling. Okay? Separate your output from your identity. You just have to learn, like repeat this over and over, write it, say it out loud, put it on loop. I am still worthy when I produce nothing. My presence is enough. Then let someone see you in your not doing state. No makeup, no plan, no perfection. Let people love that version of you. That's the proof you've needed. You got to replace that performance with devotion. Every time you're tempted to do more, you got to ask, what does my soul actually need to feel safe and seen right now? That is the root. Sacred structure is built from devotion, not desperation. Productivity is not the enemy, but performance's identity will poison your purpose every single time. You do not have to prove anything to be powerful. You do not need to earn the rest or love or grace. You just need to receive it and build from there. Your nervous system isn't lazy. It's just in survival. So we talk about brain science meets Jesus fire, right? That's the holy root system of why structure feels like punishment and why your nervous system keeps short-circuiting the very rhythm that you have been praying for, everything that you want. So if we're going to break it down, reframe your inconsistency, reframe the sabotage. Reframe the rejection of structure. It's not a failure. It's intelligent protective system doing exactly what it was trained to do to keep you alive. Because the truth is, you don't hate structure. Okay. I think that my demand avoidance brain, tell me what to do and it'll be the last thing I do, right? Like I have a neurospicy brain and there's a lot of things that don't work for me. And something that I've avoided this entire time, and something I had to really focus on 2 weeks ago, I think was my come to Jesus talk about structure. I don't hate structure. I hate what structure used to cost me. So I sabotage routines that feel forced. And that's what happens when your brain senses pressure without that safety. Your nervous system is scanning every structure for one thing. Is this safe to attach to? Your brain is not your enemy. It's just keeping you safe. Okay. If the routine feels rigid or, imposed or full of shoulds, it triggers that learned helplessness. And that's a trauma response where you unconsciously say, like, if I can't do this perfectly, I will not do it at all. If I follow this, I'll disappear again. If I do this every day, I'll lose my freedom. The sabotage is your body's way of saying, I've been controlled before, I'm not going back. And that is not laziness. That's nervous system rebellion against pressure that feels like prison, really. And trauma taught you to equate stillness with danger. That's what happened. The things that have fucked us up, that is why we work the way we work. When you experience emotional chaos or abandonment or ongoing tension when you're growing up, your brain starts equating hypervigilance with safety. Movement, action, noise, activity equals signs of survival. Stillness means something was about to go wrong. We get the same feeling when we have kids, right? We know when it's quiet, something's going on, right? So we run. But your amygdala is the fear center of your brain. And it's going to start throwing the fire alarm when you stop to breathe, when you sit in silence, when the to-do list is empty, when there's a margin in your day. Stillness feels like danger because the last time you were still, you got blindsided. Okay. Your body got addicted to motion, not because it loved it, but because it feared what it would happen without it. So your identity just got fused with doing instead of being. Somewhere along the line, you got more love, attention, and approval when you were helping other people, when you were showing up strong, fixing the vibe, being useful instead of vulnerable. And that became your reward loop. Do something, be something, prove something. That equals being safe. You didn't just learn to work hard, you learned to anchor your worth and your performance. And every time you try to just be, it feels like identity death, like abandonment. Ideally, it felt like collapse to me. So, you've built this self-concept based on output, and any structure that told you to slow down and just follow the steps felt like erasure of one of the things that made you feel valuable. Your nervous system rejects systems that mirror pressure or perfectionism. A structure resembles the pressure of childhood perfectionism, the control of religious legalism, maybe shame-based grind culture of entrepreneurship. That really grinds my gears. Okay. The emotional labor of being the strong one. Your body's going to say hell no, because to your subconscious, that system equals self-abandonment. Your brain interprets that structure as something that costs you your safety, your identity, or your sovereignty. So you freeze, you delay, you binge, you ghost, you distract yourself with creative chaos and spiritual side quests. Okay. Not because you're broken, but because your nervous system is scanning for a threat, not success. Hello. I know that was just a huge truth bomb for you. Your nervous system is freaking the fuck out because it's scanning for the threat, not success. Perfectionism is always a threat to the soul when we're just built to breathe. And Jesus didn't come to save your soul. He came to regulate your nervous system too. It's a package deal. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace is the absence of threat, which means any structure built from fear is not from him. You stop rejecting structure by building it with yourself, not against yourself. Including rest is a rhythm, not a reward. Making room for your body and spirit to agree and asking, does this make me more free or more performative? The bottom line is you don't need a stricter structure. You need a safer structure, spirit-led, trauma-informed, emotionally anchored, because your nervous system is not your enemy. It's your internal prophet warning you that what worked for the world does not work for the woman that God is raising you up to be. And that sacred structure starts with the rhythm, not rules. So for the month of June, we are burning down performance culture. We're rebuilding from the altar. This is the real work. Shifting from structure that dominates you to structure that delivers you. So we're not white knuckling our routines anymore. We're not overscheduling and calling it discipline. Okay. It's sacred structure. And that's how you move from performance to rhythm. And there's no rules. Structure that honors your soul doesn't demand. It listens. It doesn't punish. It protects. The shift just isn't strategic. It's spiritual. So this is aligned priorities and emotional honesty are how we build on that sacred structure. A lot of people plan their week based on what they think they should do, what they're afraid they'll fall behind on, and what other people are expecting. I seriously have a mad case of the yawns. I've had it all day. Like I took my kids to the dentist this morning. I was falling asleep on the car ride back home. It was insane. So we just tried to go, I had to go stretch my legs for a minute. I'm going to get back into this focus. We're talking about aligned priorities with emotional honesty is what equals sacred structure. I think I talked about how people plan their weeks on bullshit, really. And we want to flip that and we want to ask ourselves, what is actually aligned with who God says I am right now? And that's how we plan our week. What does my nervous system, energy, and calling need to feel safe and bold this week? What am I avoiding emotionally and how is it showing up in my calendar? You guys, emotional honesty is a structure building tool, literally. Your structure should not require you to bypass how you feel. It should hold space for how you feel without letting your feelings drive. So what's really important? I'm doing a little detox with my phone for a couple of days. I was in a really good routine of reading the Bible before I picked up my phone. I lost that for a few days again. So I'm getting back into that because I think it's important that we have morning devotion before morning domination. Because a lot of people start the day with hustle. They scroll, the strategy, the to-do list, and this is all anxiety. Most of the time it puts me in a free state with the way my brain works. And then I just do nothing and beat myself up for that. Devotion is the gateway to discernment, really. So when I talk to God in the morning, that's how I remember who I am before the world tells me otherwise, right? It reminds me of who I am at my core, who I want to be and how I want to show up. It's where literally God calibrates my nervous system, my intentions, and even the leadership, you know? So it is that three questions with God. We have a conversation. I read his word. And then I picture, you know, just how I'm going to be productive during that day, that, you know, what am I going to talk about today? What am I going to put out today? What do people need to hear? What is good for me? So you build your week around your energy, not external expectations. We don't want cookie cutter calendars. I want you to learn to live with energy mapped planning. Like, identify your own natural energetic patterns. Do you have high energy mornings, low energy Mondays, post bartending Sundays, reset? I don't know. I don't know what this is going to look like for you specifically, but I do know I've been off my pattern just all the things, all the healing, the little loops, the spirals, the patterns that I've caught myself in. I just have a new awareness of all of these things now. So we're going to label days, not just block them. Right? Like each day gets a thing. Like this is a content creation day. This is a reset day. This is a client day. I have a few bartending days. I have a family day. That's it. Let your body lead the rhythm, not guilt. Right? The structure is just honoring the fact that you're not a machine. You're a messenger. Messengers need margin. Okay. So how do we include all of these things without the self-sabotage? Because it's not extras, you guys. These are really pillars. There should be one day a week when you are unavailable to the grind. When I'm having family day, my phone is usually in the car. 9 times out of 10, it's in the car. I've missed pictures. I've missed great videos. I miss a lot of things because I leave it in the car because it is not a creation day. It's not a call day. There's no urgency. I'm just listening, being, and I'm in the moment with my family. That is my emotional rest. You know, I have a scheduled blank space. I have that time where not unscheduled, that gets filled with laundry and phone calls, but like real soul space. I have this non-reactive time. I make sure I have this. No obligations, no answering to anyone, just me in that moment with God. You know, there's a lot of things that help people too, like doing the food prep, making like nourishment automatic, not perfect, not aesthetic. Like, what supports your nervous system to not spiral during a lunch or a long day or a cycle crash? You have to prep for resilience, not restriction. Movement, no punishment, no obligation. It's just a recalibration. I'm recalibrating myself to move again. Because what movement helps me regulate when I'm stuck in my head? Getting on the treadmill every single time. Every single time. Put your content and sales inside sacred windows. You're not on demand, you're on assignment. Okay. And you can set creative sprints. I do that. I do that, and it's amazing and it works for me. Then I have to stop, rest, play, trust the seed. And something that has really helped me, I think I should share this with you guys. And let me see if I can move this over. I'm going to pull it up on my phone. Just something I do because I feel like so many of us get caught in that toxic scroll where we are just scrolling. And it does hurt us. It does hurt us subconsciously, even if it's something that you cannot. Was my train of thought, you guys? You think you have to have this post up. You think you have to say these things, and you think it's not bothering the. You think you're not comparing. You think you're not telling your subconscious something. Okay. I have this new thing now. Before I post, and I'm doing the same thing with even my podcasts, okay, because there's some podcast episodes I'll record and I'd be like, okay, this is just terrible, or I burn it all down. Like, you guys realize this started on a Tuesday, not Monday morning at 5 a.m. Sunday ended up being an extra long family day, and I knew yesterday was a reset for me. Didn't answer messages, didn't answer my phone. I know some of you are like, yeah, bitch, I did text you. I probably even opened them and didn't respond. That happens. But today I got back at it and I struggled with the internet for a very long time today. And what I would normally do is just say, fuck it. It's stupid. I created this whole June calendar. I blew it. But the thing is, like, the world did not implode because I didn't have a podcast at 5 a.m. Right? I knew I was going to get this up. I know that my beautiful listeners are still going to hear the message. These are the things I do. When I put a post up or when I do a podcast, I release it. I release it, okay? And I have this mantra that I saved on my phone. It's just a screensaver that I say. But it says, this post is a weapon of light. It's not for likes, it's for liberation. I post not to be seen, but because I see. God gave me this word and I won't hold it hostage to silence. And then you want to set that intent. You know, this podcast has always been about if it blesses one person, if I can make a difference for one person, it's done its job. If no one reacts, it's still released heaven into the algorithm. If I never see the fruit, I trust God saw the seed. And that's the thing. I don't go back and look. And I was addicted to that. I think anyone who says they're not is just lying. It has to be something that, you know, we could share verbally out loud that we struggled with that. And can I put it behind me? Absolutely. Because it's not a struggle anymore. I have this. It released me. I've been liberated with this. But instead of checking after I post, I pray over it like it already touched someone. There's just that gratitude. Like, I feel like it made a difference with something. And then, you know, I go spend 10 minutes with my cat or my kid and I just forget about it. You know, post, proclaim, disconnect. Because really, honestly, any message that we're putting out when we're making God the foundation, it never returns void ever. You know, we don't post to prove. We're not trying to prove anything. We have a message to share and it's designed for a specific soul. And that's us doing our job. So whatever that is, if you need some kind of mantra, I want you to do that. You know, we're going to do the same thing with your sacred structure mantra. Okay. We need to understand That structure is not here to control us. It's here to contain the fire. So structure should never shame you. It should never feel like domination. It should feel like devotional alignment that says, here's how I protect the vision. Here's how I protect the vessel. Here's how I keep the oil flowing without burning the altar. That's what we do. That's how we move from forced performance to fluid, spirit-led rhythm. Emotional honesty, aligned priorities. That is the foundation for sacred structure. Morning devotion, build your week around your energy, not other people's expectations, you know? And this goes for like my stay-at-home moms. Girl, one day a week is a big house cleaning day. Do I, you know, I'm envious of the people that can wake up and like every single day they have a house project. I kept my kids alive today. I kept my kids alive. I homeschool, that takes our time. Just if you have kids, they're busy and it's energetically draining. So yeah, if I just spent 2 hours doing school with my kids, it's not in my soul to go fold the 3 loads of laundry that have been waiting for me since Thursday, right? And I'm freeing myself from beating myself up for that. It is literally, I'm going to celebrate that I have a really great schedule set out right now where I clean the house really, really good one day a week and then just fight for my life the rest of it, you know, in a way that fits my energy. I love this. But do the things like include that Sabbath, include that emotional rest, include the food prep, the movement and building business, all of this in a way that supports you. I always thought it was evil, but it's not. Structure isn't evil. It's just been weaponized. Now we're reclaiming it as a spiritual tool. So what are we building instead? Devotional productivity. That's a core frame that separates grindpreneurs from kingdom-led creators. You're not here to build from pressure. You're here to build from presence. I want you to step into the power of being that kingdom-led creator. And you guys, if you have not checked out, if this is also in the show notes, you get you could try this for 5 days free, but I have an incredible Christian app that I know a lot of entrepreneurs. It's actually a network marketing devotional. Like you can share this and actually get a kickback. So not from the 5 days free. Okay. So you could try that. I'm not getting a kickback from that, but if you love it, there is a kickback for me and I love that. But no, it is, this guy, Graham, is just incredible. I love listening to him. His team is amazing. And they never make me feel out of place. Like there's some things, you know, I'm never going to be that cookie cutter church girl. It's just not, it wouldn't come natural to me, you know, and I'm not meant to be watered down. God's going to use me how he's going to use me. And people are going to judge that whether I like it or not. And it's okay. This app here, though, I am telling you, he will speak to you exactly where you are. So if you are someone who is definitely fitting that cookie cutter church, I love you for that. There is a part of me that will always be envious of that. Okay. You hold a different core piece, right? I'm vulgar. You're just peace. You know, I think that'd be the separation for us, but kingdom led creators. So this is a great app. I'm telling you, you guys should really check it out. 5 days for free. You will thank me for that, honestly. So anyway, so I want to break down devotional productivity. Okay. Because discipline without devotion is literally, it's just burnout. Like you're not called to wake up and get shit done. You're called to wake up and get aligned. And then we act with the fire, you know? Discipline is saying, do it no matter what. Devotion, okay, it's all about that perspective. You take two people and put them through the same thing, and it's that perspective that's going to determine their peace and their joy and their happiness. You're going to wake up and you're going to be led by discipline. You're going to say, do it no matter what, and you're going to have resentment, burnout, anger. Devotion says, do it because I'm led. You're going to be empowered, held, and honored. Discipline alone creates that shame loop, you know, especially if you're neurodivergent like me, if you're emotionally driven like me, if you're spirit aligned visionary like me, discipline collapses when motivation dips. Devotion anchors you when motivation disappears because it's not built on hype. We aren't about the hype. I'm not going to bullshit you about the things you can do or what's possible. Just going to help you see that it is possible. We want holy alignment. So devotion creates consistency as a byproduct, not a weapon. What would a devotional business rhythm look like, right? Again, that's I'm going to say, wake up and have your devotions first, journaling, scripture. God, what do you need me to see today? What can you help me with? And what can I give you that I can't handle? Then you choose your business task based on what's anointed, not just what's urgent. And when you really get serious with your conversations with God, when you get serious about reading the Bible, you feel that discernment in your gut. So you create a flow. Sunday for me is that creation, kind of just recovering. Fridays and Saturdays are huge bartend days for me. So there is no, I'm just not here. I'm in the public peopling. Okay. Monday is usually just my system reset. And then Tuesday through Thursday, that's business hours for me, with sacred windows. I don't just sell and message people all day long. It is a 24-hour, reach out, reach back, reply time, right? You figure this out. You find something that is safe for you, that feels aligned and doesn't feel forced, right? Because the Sabbath is non-negotiable, and that's spending time with God, right? That emotional margin, having blocks with nothing scheduled, that is so important. Movement, nourishment, rest, weave this into your rhythm. You're not just working, you're tending the temple. And consistency is really an overflow of clarity. It's not the goal. People chase consistency because they're afraid of being forgotten. But true consistency isn't about doing the same thing every day. It's about staying in alignment every single day. And I guess that's my big message for today with the podcast is that I'm staying in alignment. This message is put on my heart. I've got a whole month planned out, like very excited. Even this week, I'm still excited. It's the second weekend, and that's not normal for someone who has a brain structure like mine, who is emotionally driven. It's not always normal. And especially if something messes up what I have planned, I think that happens to everybody. I mean, I just did that to my husband the other day. He had a vision of a day in his mind, and I brought up something different, and it definitely triggered him. And the next day he was like, God, I see what happened. Where he could communicate. Where he had something planned, and I threw a little wrench in that plan and tried, I pretty much derailed his plans. It was just a lack of communication, very simply said, right? But that's what happens. Like, I didn't plan on not being able to record Sunday morning. That was not my plan. I didn't plan to not have internet all morning today. I didn't plan on yesterday not being able to get in here. But it wasn't in alignment. It would have been forced. It wouldn't have felt like flow. And now it stays like flow, and I'm not beating myself up because it's not that consistency. It has to be 5 a.m. every day. True consistency is really just about staying in alignment. I'm here to share a message, And that devotional clarity, we have to get clear on, like, what is mine to carry today? What is God breathing on right now? What's ready to be released and what's still being formed? And from that place, your actions flow from knowing, not from hustling to prove. Clarity gives birth to confidence, and confidence will sustain your rhythm. That's the real consistency. That is the real consistency. And the power of obedience is greater than motivation. Motivation is mood-based. It's a fleety little hussy. Obedience is spirit-based. You don't need to feel like it. You need to move when God says move. And if he's silent, you rest, you listen, you stay close, because the most productive thing you can do is obey. Obedience eliminates all the overthinking, and we're really fucking good at that, aren't we? Like, we've made that just a masterpiece. The overthinking, we've got it on lock. But it's literally killing your body. Dude, like, it's fucking up your nervous system and your brain and everything else, hurting your relationships. We want to kill the chaos of second guessing. Obedience says, I'm not leading this mission. God is. I'm just stewarding it well. Why is rest now a strategy, not a reward? Is that what you earn after crushing it? It's what you receive to stay spiritually calibrated and emotionally regulated. Okay. When you rest regularly, you get the clear downloads. I seriously, like, I take a nap from like 11 to 12, 12:30, not all the time, probably every other week. I get really good at getting up with my husband because we do this little class thing at 11. I get pretty good at that. But if something derails that and it's not an option, you better believe I'm taking a nap time and I'm not beating myself up. I think if I wouldn't have taken a nap time today, I sure as heck would not have the clarity I have to be able to share this message. My content wouldn't hit as hard, and I'm here without resentment. I'm not pissed off that it wasn't like, I have to do this podcast episode, right? I'm pumped for this because I know I'm being obedient. You want to know, like people have asked me before, like, how are you so magnetic? And what happens is when you show up in obedience and when you show up in the truth and you show up in the raw potential of who you are and you're not trying to hide shit, we're not bringing fluff. I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. I'm not the Instagram princess any more than I am that, you know, cookie cutter church kid, right? I'm not any of those things. But I can magnetize people who value my peace because of that honesty and that obedience. I rest because I trust. I don't need to control every outcome. I trust the seed. I trust what I'm doing. I trust the cycle. I trust the silence. I didn't. Please understand that was a whole lot of hell to go through to get to that. It was that refinement. And I needed it. I'm not mad at all the years I've wasted in the cycle of self-sabotage. I needed to be here in this moment to really learn what it was to trust the silence. To really know that what I thought was a great relationship with Christ was just built on the fear, not faith. And that explains why I would be so judgmental for people that always preached fear, right? Because you see the truth in what people say when it bothers you. If someone's doing something and it bothers you, there's some kind of truth that's touching you on. And I would see these people, these Christians that are just like coming from a place of fear all the time, like so worried all the time. And I'm like, that's so gross. Like, it's an ick to me. God is love, right? And yeah, that was great for a long time until I realized I still was moving in a lot of fear. A lot of fear. You're not here to build like the world builds. You're here to build from the throne room, where devotion fuels action, where obedience fuels results, where peace leads productivity and doesn't follow it. I want you to build something like a business that breathes. You know, consistency is an overflow of clarity, not the goal. I want you to have a body that's honored, a voice that's not rushed, a leadership model that starts at the altar, not with the algorithm. And I get it. You thought you were addicted to achievement, but really, you were addicted to not feeling like a failure. Now, we're taking the steps to build something holy, really. And I used to think, you know, being productive meant I was powerful. And I used to think structure had to hurt to work. I used to think rest was earned. I used to think if I wasn't hustling, I was failing. And now, welcome to June, because I'm burning that lie to the ground. I've tasted what it feels like to build from devotion, not desperation. I'm not going back. Productivity was my drug. It numbed me, distracted me, gave me false permission to avoid my emotions and my truth, but it never delivered what my soul needed. Now I don't grind. I listen. I don't push. I partner, I don't hustle to earn peace. I protect peace like it's the most sacred part of my calling, because the truth is, it is. I'm not building from urgency. I'm building from the altar. And if you're still caught in the cycle, perform, crash, disappear, repeat, it is time to come home, okay? Structure was never meant to strangle your spirit. It was meant to carry your calling. And now we can start building something holy. If this hits you like a holy wake-up call, I want you to share this episode. Drop me a DM with the word devotion or screenshot your calendar and start making space for rest, rhythm, and realignment. You are not lazy. You are just done letting survival run your schedule. Let's build different. I love you guys. I will see you tomorrow.